الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه مباركا عليه، كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: بل هو آيات بينات في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا الظالمون. وعن أبي أمامة الباهلي رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: اقرأ القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. رواه مسلم. My dear respected friends, it's really an honor to be here with all of this Quran that's being recited and beautifying our minds, inspiring our hearts. And inshallah, we return from here today filled, inshallah, with the inspiration of the Quran. The Quran is the divine word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as old as any speech that there is. It reflects the eternal speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars like Imam Ghazali mentioned that just taking the name Allah, even in negligence, even just in the passing, Allah, Allah said this, or oh Allah, just even without any kind of concentration, that will also have its benefit, because it's a very powerful word, the name of Allah. And thus the Quran are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran, regardless of how it's recited, just us being infused by it, I'm sure there's majority of us here probably don't even understand what's being recited, which is unfortunate. But still, mashallah, most of the readers that I've listened to so far, I'm sure their original mother tongue was not Arabic, but they read as an Arab, and that's exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has actually commanded us to do, to iqra'u al-Qur'an bi-luhun al-Arab, to recite the Quran, because it has to be read in a particular way, just so that it remains a standard way of reading where every word is said correctly. And that's why Arabic is actually a very perfect language, because it's probably one of the only languages where you have to learn tajweed, the way of pronunciation. That's a miracle of the preservation of the Quran itself. Because in English, there's so many different ways you can say things. You go to the South Africans, they'll say South Africa. We'll say South Africa, right? Just in that alone, right? And they're both considered to be completely fine. In fact, English, you have Hinglish, which is the Hindustani English. It's actually called Hinglish, by the way. That's the official name of it. And the South Africans will say 50 instead of 50. And that's a big difference. They don't do tarqiq, unfortunately. Right? They say 50. And then when the foreigners, Indian people from India, Pakistan, etc., come to South Africa and they hear it, they actually do mubalagha. They say 50. Because they can't get the 50 in between as the South Africans do it. So that's a special way of doing it. So you got the 50, you have the 50, and you have the 50, right? But anyway, that's just when it's the Quran, you can read it any tune that allows the tajweed. But the main thing is that the tajweed, and thus it's a very accurate way of intonation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. These are clear signs, these are clear verses. فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, which are in the hearts of those who have been granted knowledge. What an honor that all of these young people, and mashallah, in our ummah we have huge amounts of people who have the Quran by heart. May it also be allowed to infuse us with its meaning and its other barakat, aside from just its recitation. There's a numerous ahadith on this subject. I want to mention some practical points after mentioning a few narrations in the short time that we have, primarily geared towards both the students who are trying to memorize the Quran, Those who've already memorized the Quran, and especially the parents who have children memorizing the Quran or would love their children to memorize the Quran, and who wouldn't want such a great honor in this world, which then will also benefit in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith of Sahih Muslim, Abu Umama al-Bahili mentions that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that you should recite the Quran because it will come, it will appear on the Day of Judgment as an intercessor for the person who has the Quran. It will intercede for you. The fact that you had the Quran in this world, that you used to recite it, you memorized it, on the Day of Judgment, the one thing that will not forget you will be the Quran. The Quran will come and say, this person used to recite me. And thus it will argue. It's the best form of argument. It's one of the best forms of argument you have on the Day of Judgment. That it will not desert you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his value for the Quran used to be so great that among his companions, where there needed to be a distinction made between who becomes the leader, who becomes the Amir, who is put forth, even in the janazah, even when a number of shuhada, number of martyrs had to be buried together, and they had to put two into one grave, they would give preference to those who had more Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to give the flag, the standard, to the one who had the most Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make Amir the one who had the most Quran, who would recite the most Quran. He would make that person an imam who could read the most or who knew the most. Look at the distinctions with the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's even mentioned in the narrations that sometimes people have married because of the Quran that they would teach their wives. That would be the mahar and the dowry. The Quran, for every surah that there is, and if somebody who's memorized the entire Quran, mashallah, for every surah there are so many virtues. If you look at the books by Imam Nawawi, Imam Qurtubi, and numerous others speaking about the fada'il of the Quran, specifically about the different surahs. For example, there's a narration by Imam Muslim. There's a narration by Imam Muslim, again from Abu Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite the Quran, it will come as an intercessor for you on the Day of Judgment. Recite the two flowers, the two roses of the Quran, the two beautiful flowers of the Quran, al-Zahrawain, al-Baqarah wa Surat Ali Imran. Recite those two surahs, the first two after Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran. They will come on the Day of Judgment as a cloud, a shade above you. There's other descriptions that's mentioned as well. تُحَاجَّانِ عَنْ أَصْحَابِهِمَا. They will actually argue your case. If you're in trouble, if we're in trouble on the Day of Judgment, and it's very likely that be the case because of sometimes our state, of our disobedience sometimes, we at least have this to look forward to, that the Quran will come and argue our case. A hafiz, who is a person who memorizes the Quran, his character should be inspired by the Quran. Look at what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says about the person who is a hafiz of the Quran. Those of you who are memorizing the Quran, who are still young, sometimes don't understand the significance of what you're getting into, of what you're acquiring. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that for the person who holds the Quran in his heart, he should be known by his nights when other people are sleeping. He should be known by his days when other people are eating. Which means that he should be known to wake up and read that Quran in tahajjud and night vigils. And in the daytime, he should be fasting, because the Quran should inspire him to do that and take him that much closer to Allah. And by his grief and concern when other people are excited about nothing, and by his crying and weeping when other people are laughing and in jest, and by his silence when other people are engaged in idle talk and waste of time, and by his fear when other people are boasting and arrogantly strutting around the world. For the person who is a hamil of the Quran, he should be mustakinan layinan. He should be soft-hearted and humble. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ جَافِيًا وَلَا مُمَارِيًا وَلَا صَيَّاحًا وَلَا سَخَّابًا وَلَا حَدِيدًا. This is not the character of somebody who has the Quran, who's memorized parts of the Quran or all of the Quran, that they be harsh, be constantly engaged in debate, useless disputes. They should not be shouting around, shrieking in various different places like this. And they should not be harsh and hard-hearted. Fudayl ibn Iyad, the great tabi'i, he said, Hamilul Qur'an, Hamilul Rayatil Islam. The one who holds the Qur'an, the one who possesses the Qur'an, he is the one who's holding up the flag of Islam. That's a massive responsibility. That's a very big responsibility. Really, all of us who have been hafiz, especially from a young age, when we don't really understand the significance, it's something that our parents, our environment, our family, our teachers encourage us to do, and suddenly we're hafiz and we're 16 years old, 14 years old, 13 years old, and we don't really know what we have. There aren't enough inspirational pauses in between the hifz of the Quran every year, every 6 months. Inspiration be given as to what they are carrying. This is something I think that really we need to understand what we're getting out of the Quran like this. That's why he says that the one who holds the Quran is the one who's going to hold up. He is the one who's holding up the flag of Islam. It is not appropriate for that person then to be engaged in idle pastimes or just in jest, in mockery, and a person who's just then wasting his time. Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, he relates that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out to us, and we were in the Suffa. So he's one of the Ashab al-Suffa, those people who used to study in Masjid Nabawi with Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out once to us while we're on the Suffa, and he says, which one of you — now this is not just for those who are doing hifz of the Quran, because they're getting this anyway, but if you know this is what you're getting, then inshallah it will inspire you and encourage you to learn more. But this is also for those who think they're beyond memorization, who think they're beyond, they can only expect that their children are going to memorize the Quran now. Look at what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this narration narrated by Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that which one of you would love that they go to the Buthan or the Aqiq? These are areas and valleys just outside of Medina Munawwara. Who would love to go out to these areas and come back each time after they've gone there, come back each time with naqataini kumawaini, to come back with two really fleshy camels, like well endowed fleshed camels that are very expensive, those with the huge humps, lot of flesh, very expensive. Camels were the most prized and most expensive possession that you could have in those days, pretty much. So, who would love to go to those places, come back each time with two of them? How would you go each time and come back with two unless you stole them? What's the easiest way? You don't have that kind of money. So to be able to go somewhere and then bring back two massive camels, Rolls Royces each day, you'd be stealing, probably. That's the easiest way to do it. Buy, borrow, or steal. So can't buy it, can't borrow it, you're going to steal them. So the Prophet ﷺ said to bring back two of these camels each time, بِغَيْرِ إِثْمٍ, without any sin incurred, and وَلَا قَطْعِ رَحْمٍ, or وَلَا قَطْعِ رَحِمٍ, and without breaking any ties of kinship. You're not taking from your relatives and destroying your relationship with them. And the Sahaba who were there said, of course, all of us, كُلُّنَا يَا رَسُولَ, all of us. So he says, if any of you go in the morning, for example, to the masjid every time, and they go and learn two verses, go to the masjid, just sit down and learn two verses. You don't know Surah Al-Mulk? تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. You just learn two verses each time, especially as Ramadan is coming. If he goes and learns these two, that will be superior for him to those two camels. And then he said, if three, then three camels. And so on. That's a narration of Sahih Muslim. So you've got great incentive. The few practical tips to end up. This is my survey, and those who teach hifz here will probably agree with me in general. This has been my observation. Out of every 10 people who enter into a hifz program, every 10 students that enter, there will be 1 to 2 who will just blaze through. The teacher won't have to put too much effort. They will want to wake up themselves and learn, and they will put their own effort in. I had one such student, and you know, as a hifz teacher, sometimes you have to use your time very wisely, in the sense that you're listening to 2 students at once. And sometimes some even listen to 3. It's humanly impossible to do that and to give full concentration. But what you're really doing is kind of listening a bit here, listening a bit there, listening a bit there, and kind of using your mind to understand that they're not skipping or whatever the case is. Sometimes I wouldn't listen to her properly because I knew she knew it, and I would be listening to somebody else. She's a young girl. And she would stop me and say, can you listen to this part again, please? Because I think I may have a mistake here. A number of other students, they was like, okay, the teacher is focused somewhere else. We're just going to skip. It's just a habit. Or we'll do it later, whatever the case is. So you'll get 1 to 2 out of 10 that will just blaze through. On the opposing end, you'll have 1 to 2 that will probably never make it. Either because they just can't do it, or they just don't want to do it. That's generally the statistic. The 6 to 8 people in between, out of every 10, they're the most challenging ones. And most of the students will find themselves in that category, unfortunately. Right? It's still better than the second category I spoke about. Now these people, they find it very exciting to memorize the Quran. First juz, second juz, third juz, and then it starts getting complicated. Because now you start forgetting. And then suddenly you have to contend with the mutashabihat. These really scary things, which you suddenly start realizing that the Quran is not all different completely. There are many similar areas. And thus, when you come to this path, instead of going in the right direction, we're going to the other direction, because that's the direction you took last time, which means it's the verse you read last time. Now to start understanding these things, it takes effort. Problem is that once you get to 3 or 4 juz, you have to start giving it more attention. More attention means you have to give up computer time, give up football time, and give up reading time or other time. That is where the biggest challenge is. Our teachers would come. I was a principal at the time. This student is not learning. He's for 3 months, he's just not learned properly. I would call the student and say, you know what? Let's just forget hifz. You're going to leave hifz class tomorrow. Right? His dad would be there sometimes. You're finished. Why don't you just go and sit in the other classes? At least you'll learn some masail, you'll learn some other Islamic history and other things. Why do you want to insist on doing this? No, I want to carry on. But for 3 months, he's not done anything. They want to do it, but they don't want to put the effort in there. Well, how easy would it have been if you just had to keep learning fresh new lessons, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages every day, and just forget the back? That just be preserved. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. That's the challenge of it. It starts getting challenging the more you do. But in terms of that, these are some guidelines. Learn your first lesson, your sabak, as they call it. Your first, the fresh lesson. Learn that as strongly as possible. Because any mistake in there is going to be carried into your sabak supara, whatever you want to call it. And any mistakes left there is going to be carried on to your previous sections that you know. So if you, every day you're learning it well, you won't have any intrinsically inherent mistakes that will then continue as as something you inherit throughout. Try to just make your lesson as solid as possible. Number 2, it's allowed to mark with pencil lightly. Unfortunately, what some people are doing, they're marking with pen. I'm mentioning this because I find this really grossly wrong. They mark with pen, blue, red. They scars the Quran for life. In fact, when I was studying in Syria and I was reading my Quran to Shaykh Abdul Razak Al-Halabi, rahimahullah, he had a hifz chain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we generally in the Indo-Pak don't have. And I would make little marks with pencil, very lightly, and the people sitting around me, they would be horrified. What are you doing? How can you make marks in the Quran? Right? So then the Shaykh said, look, it's okay, he's just doing it to remind himself. But with a pen, it actually scars it for life. And then the student ends up not even knowing. The teacher gets angry, put a red pen right through. You know, make a darker mark with a pencil if you have to. But at least they can be erased. Of course, I don't have to mention tajweed. That's something that's already been spoken about. Try to memorize in a calm, measured, slow fashion. Anybody who's memorized the Quran slowly will be able to read fast if he wants to. But anybody who's memorized it fast will find it extremely difficult to read slowly because they'll get stuck. They just know it too fast. Try to use the same type of mushaf style, because what we're doing in memorization is not just learning the words, but we're actually memorizing the pictures of the page. Each page of the Quran we're memorizing. So we're taking like a picture of it. That's very beneficial then to remind us where things start. It's just an additional assistant and help. Remember that the brain above all is a muscle. The more you use it, the more it's going to, inshallah, be productive. So don't think that you're going to get, by using it more, that you're actually going to become more dull. You'll actually become better by, and that's why you notice that people are able to memorize much more as they continue. And the one great thing is that the world we're living in right now, where nothing, hardly anything is memorized, it's an audio-visual world, even in schools. Those who become hafiz at young age, they generally do very well, they're able to do very well in school as well, and in other subjects. Listening attentively to good reciters of the next part helps and assists in memorization. Eat foods that are known to strengthen the mind. There are many things that are mentioned, and I'm not a dietitian to give you, you know, expert advice on this, but some say 7 almonds a day, some raisins, walnuts are supposed to be very good for the brain, but these kind of things are supposed to assist. Of course, in terms of spiritually, what is supposed to, some say that read Suratul Inshirah, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, a few times before starting, that is supposed to help because of the meaning of the surah, talking about Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, didn't we expand your chest for you? According to one tafsir where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting and lying down. I forget who, it's either Tustari's tafsir or one of the others. But he mentions in there that when a person is memorizing the Quran, when a person is reading the Quran, some part of it you can do standing up, some part of it sitting down, and then when you kind of know it, then you can lie down and read a few times. So you also benefit from those who remember Allah standing, sitting and lying down. So you know when you're memorizing the Quran, you want to read it 9 times or something. 3 times you read it standing up, 3 times, or sitting down first, then standing up, and then just lie down and read your Quran like that as well. I think the change of the movement should assist you as well in terms of just breaking the monotony. Above all, just remember that the Quran will be a gift, is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's His words, He gives it to whom He pleases. So ask Allah for tawfiq, ask Allah for assistance, ask Allah for facilitation, ask Allah for ease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah give us that. Yeah, just some practical points. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow every single family of Muslims that if they can't have all of their children memorize the Quran, which is the ultimate, then they have at least one of their children memorize the Quran in their house. This should be the goal of every parent, that they have at least one of their children memorize the entire Quran. What a wonderful thing it will be that a person has somebody who has the entire Quran in their heart, in the home. The barakah, the blessing that will come from that is amazing. And then inshallah that particular child will become an intercessor for a number of people from their family, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate us all, beautify all of our hearts with the Quran, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate, make it easy for us, and keep us adherent to the Quran, and then ascend in paradise with the Quran. Barakallahu feekum, jazakum Allah khair, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.